My name is John Schramm. I am new to Holden Village. I got here on April 15th. This is the first orientation I've done. You look like a friendly group to begin with. It's a privilege for me to kind of officially welcome you to the village. And I want to tell you about what this past week brought to the village and share that with you as part of the orientation. When you came up in those buses, after you got here, there was one bus that went back down the hill. And that was some kids from Adams High School in Portland, a public high school. This is their seventh year here. And I was kind of curious as to why high school young people on their own, earning the money to come up here from a public high school, would choose to come to Holden. And it became very obvious why. The teacher who came along with them, who's come several times, had his own orientation, and it was very clear that these young people knew from past experience that when they came here, they owned this place. And he had conveyed that to them, and somehow the people who have been Holden Village in the past 7 years have conveyed that to them, and it just showed in everything they did. They took a pride in this place. They hung haiku poems on the trees for us to read. They wrote a song. They did a work project for us while they were here. And the interesting thing was, this particular high school, we were told 7 years ago, had a bad reputation of just tearing places up. And they are just exactly the opposite when they come to Holden. So somehow, the message that I want to convey to you got through 7 years ago and still got through, and that is that the place is yours. We want you to feel at home. An orientation ought to do two things. It ought to make you feel at home and oriented, and it ought to leave a lot for you to discover. And the way to do that is for me to orient you a little bit, to tell you you're welcome, and then to keep it very brief, because then there'll be lots for you to discover. I won't have covered everything, so I hope to be able to do that. When you first come into a village, including this village, you feel a little bit like a stranger on another planet. The people here know one another. There are some language, some in-talk things. You feel a little bit when you pull in like a stranger. I hope that doesn't last long at all. I hope that you very quickly feel welcome. Holden Village is a gift. What I want to do is to invite you to accept the gift, but I want to spend just a little bit of time why I use that word, gift. First of all, the place itself is a gift. Did you know that history? The whole thing was given to us. J.H. Holden staked out a mine in 1896 up on the hill. If you go on the mine hike, they'll at least point out that early mine. It's way up higher than the buildings up there. And he could never get the kind of capital that was necessary, but another company, the Howe Sound Mine Company, came in with what at that point was lots of money in late 1930s, $4 million before they took anything out to build this village. And they mined copper for about 19 years. When that no longer was profitable because the copper was deep in the ground and the transportation costs are high and that kind of thing, they abandoned the village. 650 people who lived here suddenly were gone, so it sat empty. And a Lutheran layman, Wes Preeb, if you've been to the bowling alley in the pool hall, you've seen, or even a Holden Hero number one t-shirt that has Wes's picture on, he wrote three letters. They're on the bulletin board, or they were, I didn't check. Very simple. Dear Howe Sound Mine Company, what are you going to do with Holden Village? It would make a good retreat center for the Lutherans. And the answer came back with what the price was. And Wes didn't have any money, so he wrote the next year, same letter. Now, I think he skipped a year. But the third time he wrote, they said, if you do really represent a church group, if you come to New York, we'll give it to you. So a corporation was set up to take title, and the whole place was a gift. But that wasn't the only way in which Holden is a gift. If you look up, can you do that? Look up. That's a gift. Rich Kemmerer was scaffolding, looking like Michelangelo in here, and he fell off the scaffolding once, but he wasn't injured that summer. The things that you see here primarily are gifts. Someone just asked me if I knew a former staff person who carved the door on the sauna. If you saw at 25 Mile Creek a boat over there called the Happy Exchange, that was a gift from one person to Holden Village. If you This is the piano in here. That piano, in 8 minutes, 2 years ago, people gave the money to buy that piano. It's just filled with gift. And I hope you kind of sense the number of people who have given, and given freely and joyfully, for the village to be yours and ours today. Over 2 million volunteer hours of time to make the village what it is today. So it's gift, and I hope you enjoy that. I'm not going to give you a geological or a geographic survey of the place, just five facts. We're at 3,200 feet here, in case anybody wanted to know how high you were. You came up 2,000 feet from Lake Chelan in those cross switchbacks and on that road. The mountains, Mary and I learned them alphabetically. When you go out of here tonight and look up, it's B, C, D, okay? Buckskin, copper, dumbbell. Just so you know that, so that when you leave, you'll know what the mountains are. If you go that way, Sig hiked it today, it's Martin's Ridge. That's behind you. So we've got four mountains, you see, if you stand right in the middle of the village. The Railroad Creek is the creek that you both hear and see, and if you take a river sauna plunge, you might even feel Railroad Creek. It was named because they had hoped to have a railroad to come up here and get the copper. They never did, but the name stuck. The railroad was never built, but the rain stuck. The name stuck. Also want you to know that the little bit of snow that you see, just so you know a little bit of what it would be in the winter here, when Mary and I arrived on April 15th, we came only as far as 6 Mile, about where the bus broke down. Now, for this group, we can designate that spot on the road. For those, anyway, who were in that bus. At that point, you got into one or two bombardiers, depending upon how many people were there. Steel skis on the front and tracks on the back and room for 12 people. All the rest was snow. This past winter was an average, I guess, snowfall, 350 inches maybe. So that at most of the time, go by the things that look like crosses out here on the road. What they are, they get hanging baskets of geraniums and other things in another week. The cross piece was almost always covered with snow. Some of the top stuck out. So you'll get some idea of what it would have been like because you walk on top of it. Or look at Chalet, the cul-de-sac, the road that goes up in the chalets. In most of them right now, if you go, you walk up about 6 steps. In the winter, you walk down about 6. That gives you some idea. And will we get to see some pictures, Sig, of snow tomorrow night at Vespers? Okay. Let me orient you just to a few of the village facilities. The one I do not have to orient you to is the snack bar. You've already found that one. But I'll tell you some of the other things that you haven't discovered yet. We're in the village center. Anytime you see on the bulletin board a VC, that means that you're to meet in here. This building contains not only this room, but the pool hall underneath, the bowling alley. I heard some bowling when I came in. The snack bar and the kind of lending library and periodical library. The door's yet to be fixed over in that corner. There's also a room off the pool hall that's called the shaft. I don't think it has been redecorated much for this winter, but you can, and there may be a ping pong table down there if we've got a ping pong player or two. The next building this way is called Koinonia, and that's the other building that we will be in some. You'll be in there for Vespers tonight at 11. It has a central fireplace and is a good room for discussion, I guess. 100 people comfortably can be in there. So tonight for Vespers, you'll get to see Koinonia. Koinonia also has the reference library or the meditation library. That's the center of the Tate ministry for Holden Village. And maybe if you have some questions about what that means, Sig, who's taping this session, can answer your questions. He has his office there and tapes most of the sessions. It has a mine museum. If any of you really are interested in the past history of the mine or have a course in school, the mine museum, I think, is an interesting place to visit. You've all seen the dining hall. Let me tell you what's underneath the dining hall. Post office, store for sundries that you need, a bookstore, and I hope some of you look through that while you're here, and the hike house. There was an announcement, I imagine, about the hike. If not, it will be made soon. There is a limit of 25, and you're to register if you want to go to Heart Lake tomorrow. The hike house is in that area on the first floor or the ground level of the dining room. Just in case someone gets sick or needs the nurse, if you come out of the dining room door that you went in when you arrived today and look up the hill, you'll see one of the buildings that has a white cross up in the roof area. We have two nurses. One of them should be there, or a note on the door should say where she can be found. That also includes the loom room. If I don't know if there's anybody running it, but ask us about it if you're a weaver or at least want to look at some of the looms that are up there. We have two saunas, and I don't know how much Stan gave you in the way of rules. We have two saunas, one just behind the dining hall and one down at the river. You have to go through the village, you'll see a footbridge, and then you'll see the river sauna. It's several hundred yards out of the village up the hill. We would ask that if you use the sauna for a very late night sauna, that that be the river sauna, and I'll tell you why at this point. Our staff, the ages of our staff go from 19 to, at the present, 84. We do have one that we consider on the staff who's 89, but he's not here right now. So it's from 19 to 84. It happens at the present time, most of the senior citizens, I never know what word to use, most of those on the staff who are beyond middle age are in the upstairs of the dining hall, which we call the hotel. And the sauna and the noise that's associated with the sauna, it's like a stereo set that comes to those back windows of the hotel. So after about 10:30 or so, the village has the common courtesy to go downriver if they want a late night sauna. On the maps that you got, I think the rest of the things about the village are fairly self-explanatory. The rest of the village is primarily the sleeping lodges, the chalets in which some families live and some permanent staff lives, and the rest, I think, I'll let you discover. There is an old school building called Narnia. The pottery program is in the beneath there if you're interested in seeing what some people are doing in the way of pottery. Maybe the only other thing I'll mention is the hydro. When the Howe Sound Mine Company had this as their mine, they brought their electricity from the closest source of electricity, and you came half that way today by boat. If you'd have gotten on the boat at Chelan, you'd have known just how far they had to run wires. They ran the wires 50 miles up here to Holden Village. They say it was one of the most difficult jobs that the company ever had. If you remember looking out the side of the boats, you can imagine the job of placing the poles that were necessary to run electric lines and then to cross the lake with one. And by the time they got up here, they had a 40% loss of electric power. So those lines are all gone now, and we have our own hydros that come off of Copper Creek and generate the electricity that we're all using comes because the water is turning to large hydro generators up on the hill, and we'll get to that a little bit more in lifestyle. Program. The way I can tell you about program is tell you to listen to the bells. The bell, when it rings, means one of two things. It's time to eat, or there's a session starting. And I know that you want to know when it's time to eat. How, if you have the same eagerness for every session, I don't know, but the assumption is the sessions were planned to be helpful for you. The right underneath that bell is the bulletin board, and as I told you at noon, if you look up there, the sessions are marked both as to the content and who's leading it and what building you're to go to. The only other bell that you may not understand tomorrow, I will tell you about. At noon, at 12 noon, and I think we'll be in a session. The bell means daily intercessions, and I think that you ought to know something about the lifestyle of the village. The village keeps regularly 3 hours, not like monks do, but they are like canonical hours. We have matins after breakfast every morning. We have intercessions every noon for those who can gather there under the tree, and we have a theme for every day. That's on the bulletin board if you want to look right across the middle each day. And then we keep vespers every night. So the noon bell might be the only one that doesn't affect you because we're going to be in a session tomorrow, but I wanted you to know what it was. Every community has some rules, and I heard just the tail end of Stan talking when I went out of the door, and it's the one I'm going to list first. We have one enemy that terrifies us in this village, and the name is fire. When the buses brought you up, if a driver didn't stop at the volleyball court, you tell me about it. But I think the buses stopped, and the driver said, in the event you hear a fire alarm or a siren, you get to the volleyball court right away. We've had two fires in the village. If you walk from Chalet 1 to Chalet 3, you will walk by some footers that are the only thing left of Chalet 2. Then just last fall, the garage fire up on the hill completely destroyed all of the equipment, the tools, and the garage. The reason I say we're terrified by one enemy is a fire could very quickly simply wipe out Holden Village. If it took a long time and 50 miles to get electric power out of here, you know how far the closest fire department is. There isn't one. So the rules that we do have that are the most strict have to do with that enemy. I didn't sleep after 4 o'clock this morning. The main reason is the fire alarm went off, and it was luckily a false alarm. We have some very sensitive equipment, both smoke and heat. It's so sensitive and is run by radios that perhaps a plane or even a boat's CB could trigger one. Whether that was it this morning, I don't know. But anyway, the alarm system told us to check Koinonia, and when we checked it and knew it was a false alarm, then we were told we could go back to bed, which was fine, but I couldn't sleep. So if you, it's possible that there is a fire alarm during the night. There, it's never a game at night. We don't do that to people just to make sure you'd get to the volleyball court at 3:30. If you hear it, it really means get to the volleyball court, because it's, pardon? It's a siren, a regular fire siren, like a siren, like a fire engine. You know, yeah, you'll hear it. There is a hike tomorrow for you that sign up. If any of you do any other hiking, maybe Stan mentioned this too, a minimum of 3 people. It's Forest Service rules. We abide by them. We have found from past experience that they're necessary. Minimum of 3. A sprained ankle or any kind of accident, one person should stay with the person injured. The other one should be free to come back here and get help. So don't disobey that one. That one's for your sake too. The other rules are posted. And the reason I say that is this. I want you to feel free to explore the village. If you're not to go in someplace, it will say, please do not enter, or private, or no admission, or the door will be locked. The rest of it is for you to explore, and we want you to. It's your place. There are very few places that are private, and they will be marked. So I think the rest of the things are posted. For instance, I'll give you one other one. The piano in the dining hall says, after 10 o'clock, please play some other piano. Come play this one. You're welcome to. Play one in another building. But there, remember, the senior citizens right above, 10 feet above your keyboard. That's the reason for that rule. Not that you can't use a village piano, but that the rules are really for people's, for the courtesy to the people who live here. Before I get into what that means about lifestyle, which is your theme for the weekend, I think I'd like to pause and just see if at this point there's some question that has come that you'd want to know about, some problem in the arrangements so far, or questions about Holden or its history. Okay? What does this say about lifestyle? Just as the village itself is a gift, we really believe that life can be a gift, that life at Holden or anywhere else that you live should have the basic assumption that nothing that I have was not given to me. And therefore, we attempt to live here with some awe and wonder, not so much about the gift, but the giver, but certainly awe and wonder at the gift also. This past week, we had Fritz Norstedt's telescope up here, and I saw Saturn in the ring of Saturn. It's just magnificent to see that. Saw a crater on the moon and could even see the mountain in the middle of the crater. That crater is 30,000 feet deep, and it was just right there with a very fine telescope. We try to live with an awe and wonder about nature that's here. We have only one dog in the village right now. We discourage dogs, and Charlie so far has not gotten out of hand. But when Charlie starts chasing out the 10 or 12 deer that will wander through the village about 8 o'clock tonight, or tomorrow morning come right up through all the lawns there, that takes away part of the village that I like, and that's to live that close to the animals that inhabit the forest around us. We also attempt to have a rhythm of life here. And I hope you sense part of that. You're here for a very brief period of time, but I hope you sense part of that. The rhythm has at least 4 aspects that I feel and appreciate. The first one of those is work. A lot of work gets done here. It's a large place, and almost all of that work is done by volunteers. Most of that work people accept as part of the rhythm here. I think you'll see that they enjoy it, those who work in the kitchen. They work very hard there, but they enjoy it. the Maverick crew has fun, even when the vehicles are old and the job has to be improvised. When you sit in Koinonia tonight, there were 125 pastors from the Nazarene denomination. And Koinonia posed a problem because those peeled logs that hold the roof up, there's really no way that any kind of boom or crane could be brought in to do that because the roof was already on the building. That was a dormitory that was redone. So 125 Nazarene pastors carried those large peeled logs and propped them up and became part of the history of Holden by giving in that work way. Well, a psychiatrist friend of mine one time talked about a person that he was working with, and he said one of the problems is he's not working up to his full capacity, and therefore he's unhappy. I don't think that's only being stuck with a Protestant work ethic. I think we're not as creative as we were meant to be in the society. And Holden tries to bring out that creativity and to have that a fulfilling thing, not some kind of punishment for being sinful, but the possibility of redeeming. When Christ redeemed us, I think he redeemed also his work, our work. If you see a water wheel on the other side of Koinonia, between Koinonia and Lodge 6, that's the work of presently our oldest staff person. I think Herman's 84 years old. He built a water wheel once in New Guinea in about 1945. Well, we're interested in alternative energy sources here. So that's Herman's project, and he has to go out of the village to find some other piece of metal to make it work, but it's going to create the electricity for the river sauna and for a kind of environmental park up there. And when he first built a water wheel in New Guinea, there weren't any models. He had to write away and find old books, and the natives helped him do it. But for him, that's part of his life now, is to help with the rhythm of work here. Another part of the rhythm is worship. Not only the daily offices, but the Eucharist weekly, which you'll get in on Sunday. I'll have to warn you that last week we voluntarily sang 12 hymns. I'm not sure that everybody likes to sing that many hymns. And I've been in churches where I could hardly stand singing two hymns because they were as dreary as anything I've ever done. But last week the singing was with exuberance because worship is part of the style here. And the sermons are short. That's the other side of that. If you sing a lot of hymns but get a short sermon, most people will buy that, right? And I've already told you that part of that daily rhythm of worship is the matins and the noon intercessions and the evening vespers, that we're meant to be people who offer up our liturgy, which really means the work of the people of God. Another part of the rhythm is play. Mary and I have enjoyed thoroughly every skit, the songs, the fun with which things are done. There are many quotes at Holden. One of the most favorite is Luther's quote about God gives us merry hearts. There's an old Carol Hinderly phrase about holy hilarity, and I think that does describe Holden. My feel for the rhythm is at Holden, our discipleship is taken seriously, but we do not take ourselves seriously. And when you can get that combination as a style of life, I think people really enjoy it. The other part of the rhythm is study. Holden is a reflective, studying community. In the summer, and there are some schedules for the summer if you're interested or if you want some for your parish back home, we will have 71 staff or 71 faculty people here from June 1 through September. They all come as volunteers. That's part of the gift. It includes some really fine theologians. This year, John Howard Yoder, a Mennonite theologian who's very well read recently, is going to be part of that faculty. They come from, I think, 10 different Lutheran seminaries and colleges. These people come to be part of the theological reflection that takes place here because the Christian faith not only asks of us our work and our worship, but it says to think theologically, to understand the nature of the faith. And the faculty includes a good mix, not only seminary professors, but scientists and politicians, and we even have village philosophers and people from the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra this summer, so that all of that is part of the people who make up the rhythm of life at Holden. The other phrase I'm going to use is simplicity. I think that's overused today. As soon as someone started talking about a simple lifestyle, then some tractor company called their tractor Simplicity. I've seen it advertised on TV anyway. And the Coevolution Quarterly, I don't know if anybody here reads Mother Earth News, but the Coevolution Quarterly had a cartoon that talked about simple life, and the cartoon was where the local Porsche dealer changed his name to Briar Patch Porsche and put a sign in each windshield, "Live Simply." So I'm not sure what simplicity or simple life means anymore in the United States because the mass media grabbed the word. But these are the things I mean by it. That whenever possible, we make it ourselves. The wood at Holden comes from the woods as you came up, or the forest. As you came up the hill, you saw a couple places where we're clearing. You saw a couple mill-length logs. They go up on the hill to a sawmill that has been devised using an old VW engine. There is a planer and a tongue and groover so that the paneling is that which we have cut and which we've been able to do ourselves. If the water wheel is a thing that Herman can do, it becomes part of the village because it was something that we could do instead of necessarily having to find some other way to get it done or to buy it. I think another thing that we're interested in the way of simplicity, is the sources of the energy that it takes here at Holden. I've already told you that the electricity that's working the lights and the microphone is from a hydro up on the hill. Many of the chalets burn the wood, which is available in the woods here when the Forest Service marks the trees that ought to come out. We're experimenting. We've had one solar panel, but with any plans down at the lake, where you docked, Holden Village has a use permit to develop that this summer. Solar will be used on all of the buildings down there if that proves feasible. And I think that's one of the issues confronting the world today. Food. I don't know how popular this is going to be with a group of young people. Holden is not the typical meat and potatoes, beans and franks camp. So you'll just have to tell me, I guess, when you leave, how you liked a diet that had more consciousness about fresh vegetables, fruit, stir-fry instead of cooking them to death, certain bulgur and not necessarily always potatoes, not as much meat as most people eat. Most people, and you'll have to put your vote in later, most people after they've been at Holden for a while are delighted with a diet that makes much more sense, is healthier for us. I think we can prove that one to you if you give us a chance to, if you feel like arguing, but is not the typical kind of diet. But I think it is conscious of a world hunger situation and of nutrition. We do not eat well in this country of, I'll have to be careful, potato chips and McDonald's, and I have to say those things very softly. In case you didn't know, I've got four young people whose name is Shram, and they fight me on, especially that McDonald's one. That's a tough battle at our house. Clothing styles. If you didn't know it when you got to Holden, probably the closest thing to the latest style will be someone who found up in a lodge a coat from somebody left here 16 years ago, three sizes too big, and he'll wear that to dinner with a bow tie or something. That doesn't mean that we're not interested in being covered and warm. It means simply that Holden has always been a place where you are not pegged by how much you own or what you wear. And I think that's one of the things that simplicity has to do with. My wife will tell you that I've always had that bent of not being worried about what I wear. So Holden was a very nice place for me to be the director and not have to dress up. Just a couple other things. I mentioned the flower boxes, which we built here, and the wooden boxes for the window boxes, which were built. There are 7,000 plants ready to go out. If you want to go up to the greenhouse, if you're interested in plants and can find Omar, just get him started on some of those plants. He brings seeds from all over the world or gets them from friends and tries all kinds of things. And Holden will be blossoming in a couple weeks with the geraniums and dahlias and other things. So if you get a chance to talk to him about that, which is really his thing, I think you'll find that's part of Holden and part of being in tune with nature. That style is not necessarily applicable in the same way as it is here where you live. Most of you do not live in a community cut off from the world by that much lake and that long a road up into the mountains. Most of you do not live in a community cut off from the world by that much lake and that long a road up into the mountains. But that same style can be the style by which people live wherever they live. One of the things that I tell people when I've led retreats on simplicity of lifestyle, just think in terms of what you do on a vacation. As a family, what does your vacation consist of? Oftentimes, it's to live more simply, to be closer to nature, to spend more time with one another and less time on food preparation, to dress simply, to maybe sleep on the ground, and you come back from a month of refreshment, and I'm saying most people could live a little more like that all of the time if they chose to. Those aspects which make vacation a kind of rhythm which gives us some time off, I believe most people could bring more of that into their life. I hit just a couple aspects today, but my understanding is that your program really has you looking at lifestyle. Most of you still have the major decisions yet to make, and that's a real privilege. The major decisions about lifestyle will be chosen by you fairly soon. And a weekend at a place that is interested in lifestyles, I hope, is a good setting for you to think through those things which you really value, which shape your time and your the way you spend your money and what you consider your vocation and those kinds of things. That's an important decision to make, and I think is very much part of the Christian faith. That's all I want to say at this time. I have a little more time with you tomorrow, and lots of other people have input on lifestyle.